Peace. It's the second Sunday of Advent, and Advent means like the coming, as we're getting ready for the coming of Jesus, Christmas. No spoiler alert, sorry. But so last week was hope, this week is peace. And so peace, it's something that's good to think about. You know, this time of year, you've heard it said different things like peace on earth. That's kind of a common thing. You may have like a Christmas ornament that says peace on earth. You may have a sweater or a coffee mug. I'm not saying you got to get one, but I mean, you may have some kind of maybe you're against peace. I don't know. And this is I'm glad you're here. If you're an anti-peace guy or girl, I'm glad you're here today. But so that's a nice thing to say at Christmas, peace on earth. I remember seeing like you got the little nativity scene set like in the front yard and like a yard sign, peace on earth. They're like, they're going for it. They're pro peace on earth, like against, not like all of you in the room. Some of you are like, nah, I'm not for peace on earth. So we hear that at Christmas time. There's a couple reasons. Luke 2, when the angels came, the angels came and they said, peace on earth. And then we're going to go against what the King James Version said. Peace on earth, goodwill to men is what many of us are used to because it goes in a lot of the hymns and that stuff. Peace on earth, on whom his favor rests. That's really the better translation. Or the people he favors. But peace on earth, that's where we get it. That's like, oh, it's good to say at Christmas time. And then, you know, the passage was already referenced today, Isaiah 9:6. A child will be given to us. A child will be born, a son will be given to us. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. All right, so it's like, oh, we got a son, we got a baby coming, or this Messiah coming, Prince of Peace, and there's going to be peace on earth. So I want to ask you today, 2,000 years later, how we doing? How's peace on earth coming? Good? We feeling good about that? Because now, like back in the, you know, medieval times, I mean, they're just savages. But now we are much more educated. Many of us can read. We got the internet. So that helps, right? Okay. So how's peace on earth going? All right. Maybe some of you cynics, I'm kind of a realist, sorry. I will say this. This is going to be positive. I've wrote in my notes several times, positive. I've got good news to share, but I'm starting low, all right? So don't zone. If you zone out now, you're going to leave, and it's going to be depressed Christmas, all right? You're going to just smash your Christmas ornaments with peace on earth, and don't do that, all right? But don't tune out. Not that you would, but stay with us, all right? It's going to start dark, all right? There should be like a warning, like beginning. It's going to be it's very, very dark content early on. Okay, so some of you cynics in the room may be feeling like Henry, I think Wadsworth Longfellow is the name. And I'm thinking Wadsworth, I'm like, I don't know if that's his middle name. If that's, we need to bring that back. There's not, you don't know a lot of kids. Like, what's your name? Wadsworth. Or maybe, I don't know. But Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Sounds awesome if you're a poet. If you're like in second grade, that's probably difficult. But anyway, so Henry Longfellow, we'll call him. And some of you have heard the story. We're going to start with the dark part, which I think some of us feel at times at Christmas. He was a poet. I'm not English guy, so don't worry. I'm not going to get too poetic here. But he was a poet, an American poet, in the 1800s. So writing during the Civil War. Okay. So just a side note. For some of us who like to just like feel like our generation is so unique. Nobody's ever felt, you know, like the country is more divided than it's ever been. This was written during the Civil War. We've been divided before. We've had dark times in our past. All right, so don't freak out and think that like, oh, this is special. The world's never felt this before. No, so Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is writing during the Civil War, and I'm going to give you some. That's not even the worst part. Okay, so I'm going to give you some sad backstory to his life a couple years leading into this. All right, so 2 years. This is he's going to write this poem that some of you are familiar with. He's going to write this poem on Christmas Day because he's just kind of really struggling with like peace on earth. How are we doing here? But leading into it, two years before he writes this poem, his wife dies. Okay, so. Downer. Okay, wife dies in a horrific way. All right, her dress catches on fire, and then he goes and tries to help put out his wife, and he gets burned too. She dies the next day. He's burned so bad he can't go to the funeral. That's a downer. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, that's a bummer. So you got that going on. Then his son goes off to fight in the Civil War, and he gets wounded and sent home in December. And this is like three weeks before. So he's just kind of, I don't know if you've ever been honest about like, man, this is just kind of, life is just difficult right now. I am, and then it's on Christmas Day, and he hears the church bells ringing, you know, peace on earth. And he's just like, I'm not feeling it. You know, I'm not feeling it today. This is not, you know, somebody's like, some songs make us happy. And sometimes like somebody's like, if you sing that, I'm going to punch you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just not in that day. And he was in that kind of deal. And so he writes this poem, The Bells of Christmas Day. He starts off, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And you think, oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, but not if you're still kind of really getting over your whole like wife traumatic thing. That's pretty difficult. And then your son goes off to fight and you're like, peace on earth. I'm really struggling with this. I'm just not feeling Christmas today. But he hears he hears the bells, you know, play, and their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet, the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men. He wrote this poem because that's what poets do, I guess, when they're sad, just writes a poem. I'm gonna skip some. I'll go to the end. And I think this is where we feel at time. In despair, I bow my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I'm not going to read the end yet. The rest is yet to come, okay? That's for the older people in the audience. There is more to the story, but we're going to stop. Okay, I think that's where we feel. Sometimes you see the little Christmas ornament, you know, peace on earth, and you're like, that's a nice thing to say, magical thoughts at Christmas, but there's, like, if Jesus came to bring peace on earth, I mean, you wouldn't say it out loud in church, but you're like, you understand that, like, it may take a while. Like, first century, like, all right, this is a big task. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. It's going to take a while. But by now, many of us are going, this isn't working, you know? And so I have good news. Don't worry. We're talking about peace today, in case you've forgotten. Here's the deal. Jesus did come to bring peace, but it is a different kind of peace. All right, so I'm not going to be able to fix that. All right, on this earth, this broken earth, there's not going to be peace on earth. Merry Christmas, okay? But Jesus did come to bring peace, and so let's talk about that because this is awesome. There's two types of peace we're going to talk about today, and that's Jesus came to bring peace with God. And Jesus came to bring the peace of God in your life. So let's start with the peace with God, okay? We're not out of the bad stuff yet, all right? It's got to go bad before it gets good. I'm telling you that Jesus came to bring peace, to make peace with God for you. And so you may begin to think, like, why do I need peace with God? Like, you remember, like, when you declared war on God and you went to churches and you held those picket signs and said, like, down with God, we hate God. Remember that? No, most of you are like, I was never, like, super anti-God. I don't need peace with God. I've never been, like, some of you can identify with a little more. Like, you think, like, what your pre-Christ days like, you're like, okay, yeah, I need some peace with God. But the reality is, I want you to think about, like, who you are apart from Christ, all right? And this is even now, like, for me, I'm a Christian, in case you don't know that. I am a Christian. But even now, like, apart from Christ, when I'm not following Christ, when I'm not, like, I want you got to do this in order to see why you need peace with God. I want you to be in touch with, like, a spiritual word, depravity. I want you to understand, like, how wicked you are, okay? And it's real easy for me to go, like, how wicked you are. That's a good preachery thing. You know, like, you're wicked. You're sinners. Can I get an amen? Okay, not really. Yeah, so you need to understand. But what I'm saying is, like, me. Because some of us can look around the room and go, yeah, there's some wicked people in this room, and they need peace with God. I don't know if he can pull it off, but there's some wicked. But, like, I want you to think about you. And honestly, because, like, for me, the bad thing about, like, being a Christian and being a leader is I do my best to hide my depravity and to act like I've got it all together and that I'm doing good. But for a moment, I need you to really think about, like, how wicked you really are and how quick your heart is to run from God and to run to other things, both as a Christian and especially, you know, pre-Christ. But I think so you got to understand, and if you're having a hard time with this, some of you do better than this than others, but for me, like I was a pretty good person, all right? Like I got saved when I was 8. And so some of us like, well, I wasn't that bad, you know? But you got to understand what the Bible has to say about all of us. Is you know, I'll give you a couple of things the Bible says, because maybe you're having a hard time. Is the Bible does call you an enemy of God, all right? So, and we're going to get to the good news. But so every one of us, no matter what you've done in your past, no matter how good you were compared to some of these other people in the room or compared to people in your family or your school or your hometown or your work, like every one of us, according to the Bible, are an enemy of God, disobedient, deserve the wrath of God. You have sinners, but you know, it's like, well, what does that mean? You know, so the Bible has a lot of real negatives to say, things to say about us, which is like, if you came here to church today, you're like, well, thanks a lot, Mr. Sunshine. I didn't need to come today. I would have been better. But here's the thing. When you understand that what Christmas is, Jesus came to make peace with God for you, then that's what's good news. And if you don't understand, honestly, like I'm talking to me, if I don't understand how wicked and how really messed up I was and that Jesus is my only hope, then the cross and Jesus' salvation isn't that big a deal, because I feel like I could have kind of done it, because compared to everybody else, put me on the scales at the end, I probably could have gotten there on my own. But you got to understand, no, that you were separated from God, and good news, Jesus came to make peace, to give you peace with God, to give you a way to have peace with God. I'm going to read this in the Bible, and it's crazy because I've read a lot of this stuff before, and I've tried to pray to where you're not just going over stuff, and this has really hit me some this week. I'm not a crier, but I've actually cried a little bit this week. Just really, realizing how messed up I am, and Jesus came to give me peace with God. So I'm looking at Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Jesus came to give us peace, and the peace he came to give you is that you could have peace with God. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you've done. Even as a believer, that's the thing too. The gospel, you need to kind of, not just when you got saved, but even now, as some of you in this room are like, oh, I know that. I got saved when I was 8. I got saved 20 years ago, whatever. But you still struggle at times, like, how can I have peace with God? How can I have a relationship with God? Because I know the wickedness of my heart. And really, it bothers me more, the wickedness of my heart as a believer, when I'm prone to wander, when I run after other stuff, when I rebel against him. We declared war, and God made a way for us to have peace, which is crazy, because he should have crushed us. I was like, you got to understand what you deserved and then what he gives you. We don't want we don't want justice. We want God's mercy. Skip down in Romans 5, verse 6. And this is going to tell you, maybe you're just like, nah, Brent, you're just a jerk. You're saying that we're negative. We're really not that bad. This is awesome. With all these passages I'm going to read, it talks about how bad you were and how bad I was. But then it doesn't leave us there. It says, but God. This is what you were. And I'm telling you, you need to embrace that. You need, don't think you're good. Don't think that, oh, I was a pretty good person. No, you were helpless and you were rebellious and you were wicked, but God. And that's when you're going, yes, I love Jesus. And just think of all the worship songs, all the, you know, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I should have written down all the words, that he would, a sinner condemned unclean, that he would love a sinner condemned. All these worship that just are blown away, amazing grace, that he would love a wretch like me. All right, so this verse 6, for while we were still helpless, all right, that's what we were. And honestly, that's what we are at times, and when as Christians, when we rebel and run after other stuff. While we were helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So once again, you were helpless, because that's the thing we think at times. We think, okay, I do understand I'm messed up, but I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give money. I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to fix this. No, no, no. You were helpless and you couldn't fix this. But here's the good news. Christ died for the ungodly. Who's that? That's not these people. That's you. Died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person. Though for a good person, perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proved his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from his wrath? All right, so we do not have to endure that. Why? Because Jesus took it on. He allowed us to have peace with God. We deserved his wrath. We deserved punishment. And if you come to the point you say, I understand, I deserve that, but I accept Jesus' forgiveness, then now the good news is that you're not only just like, this is awesome too. Jesus didn't just tolerate you, like he loves you. The next passage we're going to talk about, like it's like you change, not just like, okay, well, like we've done to how, as parents, we feel at times, like, I'm not going to punish you, but it's not all good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you still really annoy me. Like, it's not that I've ever felt that way. You might have, you know, or you know what I'm saying? It's like, but God loves you. He forgives you. And we're going to look at that in the next passage. Verse 10, for while we were enemies, see, that's what you were. That's what I was. While you were enemies, we were reconciled. We were made right to God through the death of his son, which is great news. So that's what we were, but God, Jesus came to give us peace on earth, not peace on earth like, you know, generic, no conflict, but he gave us an opportunity for us to have peace with God. All right, skipping over to Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 19. Colossians 1, 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Talking about Jesus. This is Emmanuel. This is little baby Jesus. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in Jesus. So Jesus is coming. And through him, to reconcile everything to himself, or to make right, to restore relationship with everything to himself, whether things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace. Jesus came and made peace through his blood shed on the cross. That is good news. Once, this is what we were, once you were alienated, you were separated, and you were hostile in your mind. All right, you're thinking, nah, God, I know better than you. Like, I know this is what you want, but I'm gonna do my own thing because I'm living for myself. I'm hostile in my mind towards God, and you express that through your evil actions, right? And like I said, this does not mean you're trying to burn churches down and you're saying, I hate God. It means you're living for yourself and not for God. That's what you were. You were, before Christ, you were separated. You were hostile in your mind, and you expressed that through your evil action. But now, he reconciled or made you right by his physical body through his death. And this is, it's cool. So now it's not like, well, okay, you once were a sinner, and now you're just going to get into heaven, but, you know, God is terribly disappointed in you, which I think that's a struggle we have at times. That's, I want to remind us as believers, if you know you're saved, then remember that God came so you could have peace with God, not just like so you don't get the wrath, but you have now peace. You're in your restored relationship, and this tells you, and now you're presented as holy. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, you are, and some of this is like, that's who we are when God sees us, but we won't fully realize it until we die and step into eternity and are totally glorified, and we don't have to deal with some of our sin baggage. But when God sees us, we're holy, we're set apart, we're without sin. Why? Because I'm good, and I'm going to church, and I'm giving money, and I'm getting my act together? No. Because of Jesus. Jesus came to give me peace with God, to make a way that I could have peace with God that I couldn't do on my own. And so now I'm presented as holy, faultless, blameless before him. And that is amazing good news. God didn't just tolerate us, but he loves us and pursues us in spite of us rebelling against the king and deserving, you know, not good things. Okay. So I want to remind you of, I want to remind you of that, especially even as a believer. I know a lot of times we think about like salvation. Okay, I understand that. Sin separated me from God. Jesus let his life down. Now I'm reunited. But remember, like that's even now, if you're a Christian and you're still struggling, like the good news is still the good news. You have to remind yourself, yeah, our sin separates you from God. You don't lose your salvation, but you feel distance from God. That's what you have to remind yourself. the cross. Jesus came so that I could have peace with God. I'm now have a restored relationship with God, and that is good news. So Jesus came so you could have peace with God, and then Jesus also came to give you the peace of God. Okay, that sounds very sermony. That sounds very like, oh, change one word. That's pretty cool. But let me just talk briefly about the peace of God. Tim Keller's like genius, just great at explaining things. He said this is what the peace of God is in your life. It's confidence and trust in God's wise control of your life. Okay, if you want the peace of God in your life, it's confidence and trust in God's wise control of your life. It's you just understanding that God is sovereign, that He is in control, and He is a good God. And he knows what's going on, and he loves you, and he's a good God, and he's got it under control. And so this world, you're gonna have tons of stuff that's gonna stress you out, gonna take away your peace. Circumstances, your feelings, we do things to try to, okay, what do you think about, like, coming in, like, if this wasn't church, like, what things would give you peace in life? And you just kind of, you think about, and would the church answer, obviously, Jesus, you know, but we think, okay, like, a vacation, you know, that'd be nice, like, especially an awesome one, like, really cool, like, some of you right now, like, yeah, you know, you're thinking, whatever your deal is, if it's the cabin in the woods, that sounds creepy, actually, the cabin in the mountains, or the beach house, or, like, I don't know what, but it's like, but that vacation, you know what I'm saying? You can even pick who goes. You could leave some family members behind. I'm not going to tell you. It's in your own head. Don't say it out loud. But so you just, like, who goes? You're like, oh, yeah. How about a massage? You know what I'm saying? Not by me. Creepy, once again. But just, like, a massage. Like, and if you haven't, that's good. It's pretty nice, all right? Christmas vacation, huh? That's coming up, right? Like, that's, you get time away from work, time with family and friends, gifts, right? Yeah. So we're feeling, because these things that we think are going to bring us peace, they're not bad. Like, take a vacation, get a massage, take time off from work. But we know that doesn't ultimately give us peace. And like I say, here's one thing that really lets you down as we're reading some stuff is false expectations. You know, you think this vacation is going to be awesome. And then you go there and it's like, did you guys, you appreciate, I've done this. Are you appreciating this? Do you know how much money we spent? You better enjoy this because we spent a lot of money and this is fun. And you know what I'm saying? Like, we better enjoy this because this is awesome. We're not stressed out. This is great. Or what, you know, you put these, or same with Christmas. Like, you want to get together with family. It's going to be awesome. And you're like, sometimes there's no peace. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's chaos. It reminds. So there's so many things on this earth that's going to stir up, like, and cause you not to have peace. So here's how you have the peace of God: is confidence and trust in God's wise control over your life. Philippians 4. I'm going to read 6 through 8. It starts off, the end of 5 says this right here: the Lord is near. And that's cool because, like, the Lord is near Emmanuel. Like God is with you. And that's the first step to reminding you of how you have the peace of God. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. All right, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And Tim Keller explained it this way. This is how you can pray with thanksgiving. Because you pray to God, you let your request be known, but ultimately you give thanks because you know He's wiser and He's good and He knows better than you, so you trust Him. Like, I'm going to present my request and I'm going to pray, but ultimately I trust God. And that begins to give you the peace of God in your life, because no matter what happens, when chaos comes in your life, you have peace, and knowing that you have if you have a relationship with God, that's peace with God, but then this peace that God is in control and he's taking care of things. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I want to just share, we've all had these circumstances where, sometimes we trust God, sometimes we don't, just in life. But I want to just a couple of examples of where I've seen this in our church recently.
There's many things that can shake your peace or shake your trust in God and all that kind of stuff would be death.
And we've had several deaths recently, you know, with a couple of our families and just walking through it with these families, it's just hearing them say this kind of stuff. Like, we don't know why this is happening, but we trust God. You know, like, and we've been there, different things in your lives, I don't know. If I'm being honest, I can't sit here and go, oh, but God's working all things together for good for those who love him. Like, no, I don't get this. Like, going back to the Henry Longfellow, like, I can't really explain that. If I'm going to write a poem right now, it's not going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so there's times in your life when you're like, I don't get this. I don't see God's big plan. I don't see where he's working. But like I say, with the three families I can think of specifically, we've walked through some really difficult things. Every one of them are saying, but I know God's in control. Like, I trust God. I know he's a good God, even though this is a killer. So this isn't just some fake Christmas ornament, like, you know, you're going to have the peace of God, so everything's going to be good in your life, and you're going to be hashtag blessed, you're never going to have trials. No, but when you're walking through the trials, when you're walking through, when your world is coming apart, you have this peace that even honestly, you know, surpasses all understanding. And I know some people who've been to some of these funerals just go like, man, that's only because of God that you could even see the world that way, that you could even trust in that way. So that's the peace of God is just basically trusting in his sovereignty, that not only is he in charge, but he's also a good God. He loves you, is in control. And the last one I'm going to read, John 16:33. Jesus says, I told you these things so that in Jesus, you may have peace. And I think this is cool because he's going to tell you that his goal was not to bring peace on this earth and for you to be a Christian, be hashtag blessed. The reality is, he's just told the disciples, if you follow me, it's going to cost you. All right? If you follow me, it's going to bring more chaos in your life. It will cost you more to follow me. This is not going to be follow me and everything's going to be good. You know, that you're just going to, it's going to be awesome. This world's broken and it's going to be really difficult. I told you these things so that in me, you may have peace. You will suffer in this world. All right. So Jesus is saying, it's, you know, if you think following me means you're not going to suffer, I'm telling you, you're going to suffer in this world. So where will you find peace? Where do you have the peace of God? Trusting in Jesus. Because be courageous. I have conquered the world. I'm in control. I'm sovereign. I've got this. You got to trust me, because there's going to be times when you're wondering, are you in control? There's no doubt about that. You have the peace of God when things don't look like, it's not working like you wish they were. The peace isn't coming. The answers aren't happening the way you want them to happen. And that's when you have to trust that God is good. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. I'm going to read the last bit of this, the poem, because as many of you know, it's kind of been a popular song now. I think Casting Crowns or something has done it and kind of retold the story. Somebody, I don't know, Mercy Me, somebody's done it recently, so you probably heard some of this. But going back to the story, remember where I left you hanging. I left you, you know, hanging there was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote, "In despair I bow my head, for there is no peace on earth. For hate is strong and mocks the song, peace on earth, goodwill to men." And the last little verse says, "Then pleaded the bells more loud and deep, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep, or nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail and the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." And there's even a little bit in that. I could hit a lot of different aspects of peace. Even a little bit of that, or honestly, when Jesus comes back, he will usher in peace on earth and make all things new and restore like it should be. But as long as we're on this earth, we're not going to have, we're going to have peace with God and our relationship and the peace of God in our lives, and just trust him.